Welcome to QSO. It's all about ham radio. I'm Ted Randall, and coming up on our show this week, Alan Pitts, the National Director of Public Relations for the American Radio Relay League. He'll be joining us, and he'll be talking about Field Day. And then Dave Sparks talking about the TW 2010 right here on QSO.
The word emergency, it means something unexpected has gone terribly wrong. Normal ways of doing things are not working. The fastest way to turn an emergency into a full disaster is to lose communications. Ham radio people understand emergencies. For over 70 years, they have provided free emergency communications for organizations. Ham radio, when normal ways of communications fail or get overloaded. The Amateur Radio Emergency Service. We'll be there.
We want to invite you to check out the website at www.tedrandall.com. That's www.tedrandall.com. All the programs and shows that you hear right here on QSO are available on the website for download as podcasts. We invite you to check them out and browse the site and find out interesting things at www.tedrandall.com. We've got something special for you. TW Antennas, your DX adventure, has got a special going on right now. You can now save on shipping when you buy the complete TW 2010 Traveler Antenna Combo. Now, the complete package includes the TW 2010 antenna, the quadruped, and the deluxe transport bag. You have to see this. Go to the website and check this out. It's a complete package plus $50 savings on shipping. The complete package is $549.85. That's $549.85. But check it out on the website. Go and look at twantennas.com. And if you can't find that, go to our website. And that's tedrandall.com, TEDRANDALL.com, for the QSO radio program. And check out the TW Antenna Special right now on QSO. Alan Pitts, the Public Relations Director for the American Radio Relay League, the national association that represents ham radio. Hi, Alan.
Good afternoon to you. How you doing?
Pretty good. I want you to tell us a little bit about Field Day.
Sure, I'd be more than happy to.
If you could tell us a little bit, because what a lot of people don't understand is Field Day is a function of the American Radio Relay League. Now, these are the guys that support it, that make it happen, and this is where Field Day had its beginnings.
Well, actually, Field Day started 76 years ago with the founder of the ARRL, Hiram Percy Maxim. And for 76 years, hams have had the fun and also the drill of taking their amateur radio equipment out into the middle of just about anywhere and using emergency power to make contacts with other amateur radio operators around the country and around the world. Initially, there was a lot of relaying because the radios didn't have all that much range like they do now, which is kind of how the American Radio Relay, that word relay in our name, came from. But now, of course, we have radios which, depending on the frequencies we use, which can go across the street or literally around the world. And we do it with battery power, with solar power, wind power, bicycle power. It's amazing how many different power sources amateur radio people come up with. And I always find new ones every year where they come up with some strange way to energize a radio and make contacts around the world. So it's kind of a cross between an emergency drill, and these are the skills which are used in emergencies, such as what are going on right now in the floods in the Midwest, what happened in Katrina, what happened in so many places, and the Chinese used not too long ago in that horrible earthquake there. But this is the drill, type of drill where they learn and practice using these skills. At the same time, it's also a picnic. And a lot of clubs and groups. Field Day is kind of when we show off also our culinary capabilities. It's a family day. There are oftentimes activities for young people to come on out and see. and a lot of clubs have what they call GOTA stations, G-O-T-A, meaning get on the air. And if you come on out, even if you're not a licensed amateur radio operator, there will be people there to help you, and under their supervision, they'll help you actually use one of these radios and make contacts or as far away as we can get. And that's always fun for a lot of people that to find out the magic of radio and the abilities that such a small unit can actually do so much. And then there's also a contest part of this. It's all going on at the same time. The contest is how many contacts can some of these stations make in a period of time. And it all starts at noontime on June 28th and runs for, well, up through basically noontime on Sunday, the 29th, you can pretty well figure. And they have a whole lot of fun with it. And there's something for everybody in a field day.
I was going to say, if folks are listening that are shortwave listeners, shortwave enthusiasts, and maybe would-be ham operators, and they're thinking, boy, you know, could I take my kids out to one of these things and watch, or is it possible that we might be able to get on the air or talk on the radio ourselves? What about that?
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the GOTA station, the Get on the Air station, where they're more than happy to help people get on the air and experience the fun of making radio contacts and find out what it's like. And many, many people, once they have done that and they see the magic of this, they want to become amateur radio operators and be able to do this for themselves, because they see not only the emergency side and capabilities, but they find out why hams are like we are. It's fun.
You know, I can recall the first field day that I saw was in the Detroit area, and it was at Ford Field, and the radio group that did it was the Motor City Radio Club. And I had no idea what field day was. I mean, I just heard the term. And I remember going down and seeing all these tents set up and seeing these generators, you know, and antennas pulled up in trees. And I thought, what is this? You know, and I get out and look at it. And I'll tell you, I was spellbound. I could not believe what I was seeing. And I was just a kid. And I knew I wanted to be in on this one way or the other. You know, these guys were camping out. But Alan, you mentioned you have a chance. They have a chance to do a little cooking around this. In other words,
oh yeah,
field day takes us beyond the realm of the ham fest hot dog. Is this correct?
Well, let's put it this way: there's informal competition between different groups. It's kind of like tailgating at a football game. As to who's got the best chili, who's got the best coffee, who's got the best a lot of things. And even my local group here, I won't mention the guy's name, but this is the one time a year where he brings out a shrimp recipe that's to die for. And if nothing else, we all make sure we show up at supper time on Saturday for that one. But it's... Again, it's a lot of fun going on between people, and it's the radios, it's the fun, it's the fellowship and the friendships that all come together just make it for a very magical weekend.
Do you recall the very first time you ever saw field day, that you experienced it yourself?
Yeah. This was with the Newington Amateur Radio League, which is a club in Newington, Connecticut. And I had heard about field day and things like that. And I had even gotten, at that point, I had my technician license. And I'm hearing, well, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, they're going to do, and I'm going, yeah, okay, fine. And went on out there, and yeah, they had tents set up, and they had a number of different people working at different things, and they had things for kids. And one of the things, I got to admit, at that point, they had one gentleman there who had been in the Navy during World War II, and I had not met him before. I had kind of heard the name. And I'm sitting there with my lower jaw flapping in the breeze watching this guy go to town with Morse code. And he's talking with people and sending and receiving Morse code like 60 words a minute, and all at the same time. Never missed a beat. And I'm going, A, dot, dash, B. the da 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 see, and you go, and it was just absolutely. I'm sitting here enthralled at what I'm seeing with some of these guys. Another, you know, my operations are kind of slow, and we were taking it. And some of the contest guys, they're just ripping through things, both on Morse code and also on voice. And I'm hearing, and they got the call sign out of that. And it's correct. And I'm going, how do these guys? Well, I learned after a while, yeah, you'll learn how to do that. But especially the first one, it's you're watching the skill that a lot of these people have and how they're setting things up. And things that you kind of wonder, how the heck does that work? But it does. And it all comes from experience, and these experiences come from things like field day, where it's not just the theory of how to set up an emergency situation and actually get on the air. It's the actual practice and the ability to practice that and have fun with it at the same time pays off big time later on.
Well, you know, when you consider when these guys go out to set up, they have to put an antenna up somewhere, and there's certain guidelines as to what they can and can't do in terms of the antenna. But you'll see antennas put up in trees. You'll see homebrew vertical antennas, some sitting on a pop bottle with radials on the ground. You'll see beams that have been hoisted up on makeshift towers. Just all manner of antenna technology going on here. And
there's one group that's going to be close to where I grew up that they've got a small little community park, but it happens to be up on top of a hill where there's a flagpole. And, okay, can you turn a flagpole into an antenna? Now, we know of a number of antennas that were made to look like flagpoles, but can you take an old flagpole that actually is cemented into the ground and tune it up and make an efficient antenna out of it? And the answer is yes, and they do. It's the ingenuity, the resourcefulness of hams that is always fun.
Well, you know, something that's really fascinating, and if you have never seen this, and that is, and there's a lot of folks out there that have never seen somebody really operate CW or Morse code that's really proficient at it.
And we're also seeing the newer modes also, and not just the older modes, but the newer modes to recognize this is not your granddaddy's radio anymore. You will see probably four computers for every Morse code key. The running packet and PSK and all kinds of different ways, the different modes and ways that amateur radio communicates digitally, where they're blending computers and radios together. And even... Well, they're still a little on the expensive side, and I can't afford one, but I know a number of people are getting them. What they call software-defined radios, where the computer is the radio and the radio is the computer. It's kind of a, you know, where does one stop and the other start? It's really hard to tell.
Well, you know, that's going on in the broadcasting business, because there's computers now that are actually audio processors that are being used on air, computers that are being used as actual exciters to be fed into an IPA stage. It's a little spooky what these computers can do. But
if you want a new radio, you just download it.
Well, that sounds cool, you know.
The parameters and all are actually programming.
Well, you know, this is also an opportunity, and let's talk to hams for just a minute now. If you're in a community, it's real easy to just forget that field day is going on. But in the local communities, there are people that are somewhat in charge of PR in your area. Alan, tell us a little bit about those folks, because they're scattered throughout the country. And I think it's important that we remain cognizant of getting the public aware of field day. Let them come out and see this thing. I know we're doing a contest, and I know that, trying to be the guy with the most points can be a little taxing, especially in hot weather and stuff, but still, the point of this exercise is to let folks know who we are and what we do and what we do for them.
Well, it can be a contest, and I can tell you how you can earn 500 points without even turning on a microphone, and that is through the public relations and getting the word out to the communities that what's going on here. There's basically two types of public information officers within the amateur radio community. There's the official ARRL, public information officers. Now, these are nominated to the section managers around the country, usually by a club or possibly by a coordinator type person. And it is the section manager who makes the appointment to be an official ARRL public information officer. And there are approximately 450 of those people around the country. Then many clubs have their own public information officers. They don't hold in a full ARRL appointment. But they do a lot of work for the clubs. They maybe run the club newsletter and local news and this type of thing. And these people are the ones that, in many, many ways, actually carry the most weight because there's so many of them. And what we are trying to do with as ARRL nationally is provide materials for both sets of public information officers, both the formal ARRL ones and the informal club-appointed ones, which would allow them to promote amateur radio within their home territories. There was materials which we put out in the Field Day package, which went to all the different clubs. There's material which is available on the public information website of the ARRL, and there is things in the monthly electronic magazine I put out called Contact, which basically are everything you possibly need, and some of it's just simple fill in the blank where you put in your local club's name, your local location, and a contact person, and you're ready to hand that off to the newspaper, to your television stations, to your radio stations, whatever it may be. So the material's all there. We make it as easy as possible for the public information officers because they're volunteers. We know that. And, you know, time is limited. But we truly do appreciate all the work that they do, and that's why we try to make it as easy as possible. So if you're listening to this and your club hasn't done it, get on your PIO. There's 500 points out there before you even turn on the microphone, and make sure, yeah, people know about it and know that where to go and where to come. And while I'm at it, unfortunately, it's a little bit long. There's something new out there this year, and this is the first we've tried it as ARRL, is we have one national database where all of the Field Day locations for the country are listed. And, okay, if you're listening to this, get your pencil ready. I'll give you a second while you do that. But this is one place that gives you a map. You can put in your own zip code, and it will tell you all of the Field Day locations around in your home area. And we found a lot of people, they kind of listen and they look it up and they go, oh, wait a second, there's one that's only a couple miles from me. You know, I'll stop by and see what happens. So if you happen to be one of those people, okay, you got your pencil by now. It is www.arrl.org. And the slash mark, the word contests, C-O-N-T-E-S-T-S, slash mark, announcements, A-N-N-O-U-N-C-E-M-E-N-T-S, slash F-D. The letters F-D for Field Day. That should bring you into the Field Day package. If you can't find that, on the main ARRL website, you can. There's a place where you can search the website and just write in Field Day Package, and ultimately it'll take you to the same place, but it's easier if you've got the full email.
And I'll tell you what we'll do. Up on the on our website, there's a tab that says ARRL, and I'm going to go ahead and put that link directly in there. So if you get totally lost, Just go to the TedRandall.com website under ARRL, that tab. I'll have the link in there.
Yeah, Field Day Locator.
That is slick. And
This is brand new for us this year, and it has been very well received. As a matter of fact, it's been so well received, we're kind of looking at doing other things with the same concept as the year develops.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I was talking to some TV people, okay, and this is a good thing for clubs to get involved with their local television station. Of course, you want to work that through your public relations guy, you know, make sure that he knows what you're doing or y'all are working together on this thing. Don't be pulling in different directions. But anyways, yeah. I had sent the link out. I had actually delivered some stuff to television station. I was talking to one of the reporters, and they pulled up this site and put their zip code in from their hometown. And immediately the reaction was, oh, my goodness, there's like four Field Day locations within so many miles of where I grew up, you know. And I could see them getting excited. And if it didn't do anything other than get them excited, it was well worth giving them the URL, you know. But they were like, wow, I never knew this. So that is, I think it's good. I was real surprised when I ran, and I did the same thing. You know what? I had to put my hometown zip code in there and look. And I was surprised at the number of stations, as well as the number of stations right in my immediate area. So if you haven't been up there and done this, that thing is so cool. Who thought of this? Whose idea was this?
A guy named Dan Henderson. Dan is actually our regulatory specialist and basically does a lot of work liaison with the FCC. But this year he's also the point person for ARL dealing with Field Day, even though we won't be there. But Dan came up with it, and he's gotten a lot of pats on the back for this one. Excellent idea.
We want to encourage you folks, if you're not a member of the league, we want to encourage you to join. Now, I know, you know, there's people that will say, well, I don't agree with everything that the league does. Well, I don't think anybody ever agrees with anything that any organization does.
I don't agree with all the things my wife does, but I love her very dearly anyway.
But one thing about...
The answer is any human organization. Any human is going to have some parts or things that we can always find. And yet, bluntly, name me one other organization that has done as much for amateur radio, kept it going, protected it, and nurtured it anywhere in the world. And you can't find one. That's why I'm proud to be part of it.
Well, you know, I was going to say, I think it's so important. I mean, when we look at the victory over BPL, because I knew what was coming with BPL. You know, working in the broadcast industry, I was thinking, oh, no, I hope they don't. They're not serious about this, are they? You know, and that was a milestone to help preserve the hobby. And the league was behind that in the ballpark. And, I mean, you know, it's not every day somebody sues the FCC, you know. And even the FCC took it with a smile on their face. I mean, you know, so the league did that and pulled it off so professional. And got the job done, and there was nobody really that I know of with hurt feelings or anything. It was a major victory for ham radio, and I think.
And at the same time, you know, what that was the front door. At the same time, was the back door. Ed Hare and the people in the lab here. Now we've got a world class electronics lab here. Ed Hare's working with the BPL companies quietly in the background, and making sure that the second generation and the third generation chips are not using amateur radio frequencies. Now, that is no guarantee that in the future, you know, if the rules don't change, that's no guarantee that there never will be any interference. But at the same time, it makes, as much as we can, makes friends for amateur radio and shows we're not against the technology, we're against the interference. And it helps ensure that there won't be interference to amateur radio frequencies or any other shortwave listeners.
Very, very good. I want to ask you this though, Alan. We've got to cover one thing. What is your favorite thing? Everybody has their favorite thing. What is your favorite? What is Alan Pitts' favorite thing about Field Day? What do you enjoy the most about it?
I enjoy getting out of my office and running around to as many Field Day sites as I can in the area. Can't get to them all. There's a lot of them here. But getting out and actually getting to meet some of these people just on a relaxed atmosphere. I do get to meet them at conventions. I do get to meet them at ham fests and forums. But usually I'm doing something at that point. I'm leading something or speaking or whatever. And as you personally, unfortunately, saw, I can go cruising through things and, you know, I get so focused that I can even miss people that I know well. However, at field day, I can go to a number of different groups and meet friends and just unwind, relax, and sit down with them and just be people. And be people at the same time, enjoy the hobby. Well, doesn't get better than that.
Somebody, I don't know who it was I was talking to, said that there was a field day somewhere they visited and they really enjoyed it because what happened at a certain time, all the radios went off and they all sat down to a potluck dinner and they really enjoyed the fellowship and they got back up after dinner, cleaned up, turned the radios back on and just kept right on trucking. And I thought, that's really cool. You know, that's what really what amateur radio is all about. It's all about the fellowship between the people who are in the hobby, whether it's in a QSO on the air, at a field day, at a ham fest, at a ham radio club meeting. The fellowship is what really makes this hobby so magic.
And a lot of these people, I've got friends I've never met on the radio. Someday I hope to meet them, but they're scattered all over the world, and yet they are friends. I know the names of their kids. I know the names of their dog. They know the names of my dog, Dozer. and when you do pop up on one of them, it's, oh, yeah, how you doing? Yeah. And, okay, maybe they're popping a computer or a database or whatever, but we recognize each other and half remember each other, and we do truly wish each other well. And It's just a fellowship that you don't find too often in the modern world, but dang it, it should be, and it should be continued.
Well,
it's good people, it's good folks, it's the kind of thing I'm happy to take my grandchildren to.
This has been a good time to talk to you. I really appreciate you taking the time. Once again, we're talking with Alan Pitts. He is the Public Relations Director for the American Radio Relay League, and you said something was kind of interesting. We forget sometimes where we came from because we use that word relay, and the general public, they have no idea what that means, you know? So we have to kind of explain ourselves a little bit. What is this relay business? What is it? Is this a tag race or something?
Well, actually, in the beginning, it almost was. The radios did not have the range. They did not have the power. People didn't understand the frequency, ionospheric propagation, and a number of other things that they do now. And, yes, a message would literally be relay. It's kind of like playing telephone. And they developed some really good checks and balances to make sure that the message that started out, let's say, in Oregon, by the time it got to New York, was exactly word for word the very same message, that things didn't get diluted and polluted in the process. Hiram Percy Maxim was initially looking at getting together an association that would relay messages around the country as needed. And that is what developed ultimately into the ARRL itself, as the National Association for Amateur Radio Nationwide. Now, relay still happens, though. The most poignant example that I can give you actually was one that came out of Katrina, where a lady on a roof with a cell phone, unable to get any local call, but in the freakiness of how the cell phone towers were, they were able to get some long distance calls. Lady calls. Ultimately, she got a friend of hers in Virginia who didn't know what to do, but was friends with a ham in Connecticut. The ham in Connecticut now gets this information. She relayed, there's the word relay, notice where the message is going. She relays it in to one of the amateur radio centers for communication at the time in Texas. Texas goes and relays that into the Emergency Operations Center in New Orleans, who pass it on to the hams that are working with the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard gets the lady off the roof. Well, it turned out it was the lady and several children also. That ability to relay messages and get them to go to the right place correctly, absolutely word perfect, the way they were, with the right information to the right people, that's still a skill which amateur radio people do. There's a whole national traffics system which has materials out to help train hams how to do that type of stuff. And even though relay as such is not needed as it used to be, as it initially was envisioned, those skills still come out handy. It's like Morse code. It's an old skill. And it probably, you know, you could say, is it really needed? But there are times it comes in handy. All the different skills in the amateur radio toolbox, this is what makes him so resilient and able to respond to MacGyver things when there is an emergency. There's a lot of arrows in our quiver, and we just need to know which one to pick. It'll work. We'll get that message through.
What's so encouraging, though, is this is this exercise with Field Day is a, if you want to call it, it's actually an emergency simulation.
Correct.
So to speak, to see how many different places we can dot on the map and reliably talk to those people and get messages across, but still have more fun than the law allows. is that a good way to put it?
I don't know about the law, but the rest of it's right.
Okay. Alan, thank you so much. I really appreciate
you
joining.
You're very welcome. And good luck to you. And I may talk to you on Field Day and listen to me. I may come up on the air.
There you go. We'll be listening for you, Alan. Thank you so much.
Okay. W1AGP, 73s.
We want to invite you to check out the website at www.tedrandall.com. That's www.tedrandall.com. All the programs and shows that you hear right here on QSO are available on the website for download as podcasts. We invite you to check them out and browse the site and find out interesting things at www.tedrandall.com.
Do you suffer from the heartbreak of brain rot, feeling bored, sluggish, listless, not had a new idea in days, using electronic gizmos without a clue why they work? Now there's help. Ham Radio, guaranteed to stimulate your corroding neurons and open a whole new world of excitement. To learn more about Ham Radio, go to helloradio.org.
Side effects of ham radio usage include mental stimulation, desire for education, new career paths, understanding of technology, and cases of addiction have been reported. If you experience any of these symptoms, you're welcome.
Ham Radio, it's not your granddaddy's radio anymore.
We've got something special for you. TW Antennas, your DX adventure, has got a special going on right now. You can now save on shipping when you buy the complete TW 2010 Traveler Antenna Combo. Now, the complete package includes the TW 2010 Antenna, the Quadrupad, and the Deluxe Transport Bag. You have to see this. Go to the website and check this out. It's a complete package, plus $50 savings on shipping. The complete package is $549.85. That's $549.85. But check it out on the website. Go and look at twantennas.com. And if you can't find that, go to our website. And that's tedrandall.com, TEDRANDALL.com, for the QSO radio program. And check out the TW Antenna Special right now on QSO. With me is Dave Sparks, N4OZO. And of course, you've probably read on the webpage and you heard us talking about the I Worked Dave contest. And we're just starting this thing up and we're inviting you to participate. But I've got Dave with me. Dave, tell me a little bit about what's happened this week with the TW 2010.
Yeah, hi, Ted. And hello, everyone listening today. We had a ball last weekend, Ted. It was a paper chaser's heyday. There was a lot of ships on the air, and I worked a number of those. The USS Little Rock worked the American Victory, the USS North Carolina, the SS Batfish, which is a submarine, the USS Wisconsin, the Boyer, the Battleship Texas, the Light Huron ship in Port Huron, the USS Yorktown, and the USS New Jersey. Just had an absolute ball working the ships last weekend. I managed to also pick up a couple of islands. I picked up Moose Island and Emerald Island, and that's... those are kind of favorites of mine, is to work the islands, Ted. I worked some special event stations, worked the a dairy festival in Massachusetts, also worked a star party in Texas, and worked a D-Day historical special event station also that was on the air last week, Ted. So we just absolutely had a paper chasers heyday.
And you did this all on the TW2010?
Yes, sir. I sure did. It was all done mostly on 20 and 17 meters, and it was all done with 100 watts or less.
That's unbelievable. Why so many ships? I mean, are the ships on normally that much, or was there a special event or something going on?
Well, no, normally you wouldn't run into that number of ships, but every year they have a special event day just for historical museum-type ships. And last Saturday, last weekend actually, Saturday and Sunday, was that weekend for the ships. And when I turned on the radio and I started hearing the ships, I recognized right away what was going on. And needless to say, that got my attention because I love working those ships.
Okay, now, we've got a deal here. it's the I Work Dave contest. It takes place Sunday afternoons on about 18.135 on 17 meters, and that's plus or minus a little noise, a little QSB or whatever. Now, time-wise, that's 2 p.m. Central Daylight Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and 20 hours UTC. I want to get that in there to make Dave happy because he's... All Dave thinks about is DX. You know, his mind is overseas, folks. Anyhow, if you work him, you're going to get a certificate from the TW Antenna Company that says, I work Dave, and we'll send you a QSL card from this radio show, QSL. And then your name goes into the hat. You become eligible for another contest that will soon be announced from TW Antennas. And I...
Trust me, Ted, you don't want to miss this one coming up. Get your name in that hat because there's going to be something special down the road.
Well, while I've got you on the phone, and folks are probably listening and saying, he worked all those stations and he did all this, what in the world is a TW2010? So why don't you tell us what in the world it is, Dave? You got one set up, you're using it, and I know you can take it down real quick and take it with you camping, but... Tell us a little bit about this antenna.
Well, if I had to summarize it just in a sentence or two, it's a portable antenna that can be set up in less than 5 minutes. The antenna itself is approximately 6 foot 10 inches tall. It works 20, 17, 15, 12, and 10 meters. And it does not require a ground plane. It's a balanced antenna. It's ground independent. So you can put it anywhere. You can take it camping with you. You can take it out to field day. They have an optional quad pod for it, so you can set it out on your driveway. And for people that have antenna restrictions or live in a neighborhood where there's antenna restrictions, you can take this thing, walk out in the backyard, set it up for the afternoon, then fold it up and bring it back in and put it away. And it's just, you'd have to actually work the thing to believe it, Ted, because the performance of it, in spite of its portable size, the performance of it is the thing that gets me. If you can hear them, Ted, you can work them.
Well, the first time I saw this antenna, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was an antenna. I mean, I had no idea what I was looking at. I thought it was some sort of a thing that held flags, you know.
It has sort of an unusual shape to it, and some have said, hey, it looks like the letter H turned on its side, or you could say it kind of looks like the letter I, and it does look a little bit unusual. We've even had one person that got one that had antenna restrictions, and he went down and bought some plastic flower pots and used fishing line and hung some bird feeders and flower pots on the thing, and everybody just thought it was a flower pot stand in his yard. They didn't even know it was an antenna. And meanwhile, he's inside having a field day.
Well, you know, and it's getting bad because in a lot of places you can't put an antenna of any kind up. They won't even let you put a television antenna on your roof in some places.
Oh, I know. They don't want any satellite dishes, the little tiny ones. They don't want TV antennas. Some areas are just completely restricted. And by the way, too, as well as we're on that topic, this antenna is powder-coated black, so it even sort of has a stealthy appearance to it. And it's just not anything that would get anybody in trouble under those circumstances.
Funny story. We were at Dayton, and the TW2010 was in the booth. And I walked up, and I was looking around, and I said, "Where's the antenna?"
I know. We had several people do that. We had to point out, Ted, hey, here, or, you know, whoever we were talking to, we had to point out and say, "Hey, here's the antenna right here," because they'd be looking at the brochure, and they would look sort of puzzled, and, "Hey, here it is. You're looking at it." And they would look and say, "That's it?"
Well,
of course it was. The full-size antenna was standing right there.
The funny thing was, is y'all had to move it to the empty slot next door where there was a yellow background. You know,
We did. We really had to do that because people weren't noticing the antenna in our booth. So we moved it to an open space next door with a yellow backdrop just to give it some contrast so people would see it.
You know, I'd like to get a picture, if I could find the fellow that's got the flower pots, I'd like to get a picture of that and put it up on the website.
Because that is a good one. I'll try to find that, Ted, and get that to you.
You know, maybe in the future what we got to do is we got to get these TW2010 owners who have put sunglasses on their antenna to send us pictures and just see what kind of disguises they've got on these things.
Well, I'm starting to get to the point now where I'll be on the air. And I'll actually run across other people with a 2010 also. So we'll be one person with a 2010 Traveler, which is myself, working another person with a 2010 Traveler. And that's always kind of amusing when you do that, because it's kind of something to, you know, that both parties can share on either end because they know what the other has.
Well, you know, if folks are wanting to see the antenna, you can go to twantennas.com. Or you can just go right up to this website, tedrandall.com, because there's a link right there. And you can order the antenna online. You can look at the pictures, and then Dave's there to tell you. The thing works. And there's a lot of antennas that have been peddled in ham radio in the past that didn't exactly do what folks said they would do. This is not one of them. Would you not agree?
Oh, I completely agree. And, you know, one of the design criteria around the antenna, Ted, to start with in the very beginning, is it had to have performance. That was the very first goal, or the very first thing that we were insistent on, is the antenna had to perform well. If it didn't do that, it wasn't going to go any further at all.
Well, you know, there's a lot of antennas like mobile whips and things that people use in restricted areas, but this is a different class of antenna. And
yeah, it really is.
And I've had experience... limited experience, but enough experience myself to know that this is the real thing. I mean, it really, really works. Dave, thank you so much for coming on board. N4OZO, Dave Sparks. And Dave is going to be, once again, I want to run this past you so you all know. And you follow along, Dave, or you take the lead. You're going to be on where?
I'm going to be on 17 meters on Sunday afternoon at, 2 o'clock Central Time. On 18.135 upper sideband. And I'll be listening for anybody between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock Central Time, and I'll be taking their call signs down, and they will get the special certificate and QSL card, and they will also get put in the pot for the contest to be announced, Ted.
And that is also, I want to say, it's also 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 20 hours UTC. Dave, you forgot the UTC.
I thought you would get it, Ted.
All righty. Well, thank you so much. Be listening for Dave. Get the certificate. Get entered into the contest. And hear what it sounds like to talk to somebody on a TW2010. Thank you. We'll be joining you again next week. So let's see how many different stations you can work and what's going on the ham radio bands.
7-3, Ted. Good to be on.
Wireless. You hear that word used a lot today. We have wireless telephones, wireless internet systems, wireless microphones. What it actually means is that they are radios. And who knows more about radios than amateur radio operators? Call them amateurs or call them hams. They know the modern wireless world. They helped create it.
We've got an announcement to make. Starting next weekend, the 28th, QSO will be expanding our time slot. We'll be on for 3 hours right here on 7415 WBCQ. And in addition to that, next weekend, we're going to be broadcasting live from Field Day. Now, that's the Lord willing and the creek don't rise. We'll be on live from a Field Day location, and we'll be talking about all the stuff that's going on, and we'll have people calling in from all different kinds of Field Day locations all across the country. And they'll be telling us about their club setup, their Field Day setup, and how they're doing and what they're doing and if they've got some unusual things going on. Matter of fact, I found out that the club in Lebanon, Tennessee, is going to be launching a repeater on a high-altitude balloon. And that's going to be a lot of fun. That's in Lebanon, Tennessee. Hopefully they'll be checking in with us and telling us all about that. That sounds like something different. And I'm sure all across the country, people are going to be doing all kinds of strange things on Field Day. A lot of really neat stuff. And we'll have a phone number up on the website, so be sure and look up there. And if your club is doing something, be sure and call us on that number, because we want to be able to put you on the air and talk about what you're doing on Field Day. Right here on the QSO radio program, once again, expanding to 3 hours, starting next weekend, starting on the 28th, as we broadcast live from the ARRL Field Day at an undisclosed location at this point. We'll be telling you a little bit more about that as we come along next week, and of course you can look for it up on the website. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's WB4KCG on QSO.
If you've cried a river, if you doubt your dreams, if you've waited in vain by a phone that don't ring, if you think a promise is something you can't trust, then you don't know my love. If you think that romance is dead and gone, that all I'm singing is the same old song, that forever's a word somebody just made up, then you don't know my love. I've been falling, falling ever since I met you, trying to get you to find no one, no one's ever gonna love you like me. Better believe if you think I'm lonely, only talking trash, that my mouth's writing checks that my heart can't cash. Well, here's my number, baby, call my bluff, 'cause you don't know my love. Aren't in on this, that the stars aren't hanging on our every kiss, that my prayers weren't answered the moment you showed up, then you don't know my love. Baby, you don't know my love.
That's Ronnie Millsap, WB4KCG, and you're listening to QSO. It's all about ham radio once again. Coming up next weekend, we'll be live from Field Day. We invite everybody that has a club or an organization. You're going to have your own Field Day sites, be sure, and call in. Get the telephone number off the website and give us a jingle and tell us all about what you're doing at Field Day, about what your group's up to, how many stations you have on the air, anything unusual you got going on. We'd love to hear about it, and so would the whole country. So you be sure and do that. Right here on QSO, and here's the Beach Boys. Song. That's Peggy Sue, and you're listening to QSO. It's all about ham radio. Want to remind you, next weekend, we'll be on the air from Field Day, starting at 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 10 p.m. Central, right here on 7415 WBCQ. We'll be broadcasting. It'll be a three-hour broadcast of live from Field Day, and we invite all of the clubs and all the organizations that are doing Field Day to be sure and call in and tell us all about what you're up to, anything unusual about your stations, the contacts you're making, how you're set up, and especially how much fun you're having with Field Day. So be sure and join us next weekend right here on QSO on WBCQ. We want to invite you to check out the website at www.tedrandall.com. That's www.tedrandall.com. All the programs and shows that you hear right here on QSO are available on the website for download as podcasts. We invite you to check them out and browse the site and find out interesting things at www.tedrandall.com.
I got worries by the ton, getting cancer's only one, overtaxed and alimony, tired of eating fried bologna. I got burdens on my shoulders, dying young and growing older. There's some brain cells I'm missing, but despite it all, I'd like to say I'm gonna have a good day today. Gonna have a good time anyway. Put it all behind me, lay it all away. Gonna be a good day today. Bills and pills and former wives, past mistakes and former lives. Bank account is overdrawn, out of Prozac, airline's gone. Hearing voices in my head say I should've stayed in bed. Dog just died, but what the heck, nothing worse can happen anyway. So I'm gonna have a good day today. Me, I'm gonna have a good time anyway. Put it all behind me, lay it all away. Gonna be a good day today. Take it now. Pulled my back and wrecked my car. Girlfriend stole my VCR. Letter came from 60 Minutes. Say they wanna put me in it. Tell me my career just died. Years ago I might have cried. Now I'm just too old to do it. Maybe true, but screw it anyway. Me, I'm gonna have a good day today. And I'm gonna have a good time anyway. All behind me, lay it all away. Gonna be a good day today. Hey, I'm gonna have a good day today. Me, I'm gonna have a good time anyway. Put it all behind me, lay it all away. Gonna be a good day today.
We want to thank you for joining us this week on QSO. It's all about ham radio. And we'll be back next week, same station, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 10 p.m. Central, right here on WBCQ. Join us next week for Field Day Live on QSO.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, day proved through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land and of the free, and the home of the brave?
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we've watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave?